We need to talk about risks in cryptocurrency and various asset classes. Because I've noticed this phenomenon where when I say something good about an asset class like gold or silver or certain types of crypto or real estate or whatever, of course everybody's happy, especially people who are in those industries. You know, they're thrilled that I'm talking about, you know, gold and silver might be a great store of value, or that certain crypto projects might have intrinsic utility that gives them intrinsic value, for example. But anytime I say something even a little bit critical or give a little bit of a downside or talk about risks, then some people lose their minds. I've noticed this too. And there's this kind of asset class tribalism out there, especially in crypto, I've noticed. The gold and silver people tend to be a lot more rational, you know, more even-keeled, kind of in it for the long haul. Well, you have to be if you're in precious metals. Whereas crypto people tend to be more like, I need instant return, you know, not very patient, and very, very tribal. Like, all the other coins are bad except my coin, you know, that kind of attitude. I've seen that. Not everywhere, but I've definitely seen that. So I want to just rationally point out to you the potential downside of each asset class that you might be looking at. Real estate, gold, silver, crypto, whatever. Cash, you name it. Stocks. Because the name of the game here right now, in my opinion, and I'm not your financial advisor, and don't take this as financial advice, you know, do your own research, get your own advice, but in my opinion, the name of the game right now is to just try not to lose your capital or your savings. Whatever money you have, try not to lose it. Because so many wealth destruction vectors have been unleashed against humanity right now. Rising interest rates, for example, or the deliberate shutdown of the energy infrastructure, for example. And there are many other examples of this. You know, war. Shutting down export ports like Odessa, things like that, blowing up refineries, tearing down, you know, food hubs and so on. So many destructive things have happened that wealth is being destroyed on a large scale basis. That most people are going to lose some significant portion of their savings or their assets or what they think they have in the stock market and so on. Again, most people are going to lose probably the majority of their money. Think about that. Most people will lose over 50%. That's what I'm saying. Some people will lose 90%. Your job and my job is to try to lose 0%. And that's probably impossible. Probably going to lose something. Because there's been too much money created, you know, artificially low inflation, money printing, artificial zombie economies being propped up with stimulus money and so on. Each of us, myself included, we are living in a time of artificially created wealth that cannot last. It will not last. And so, as I say, the name of the game is to try to lose close to 0%. But honestly, I feel like if you only lose 20%, consider yourself lucky. And I'm talking about over the years ahead. If you only lose 20%, you're probably doing really, really well. So let's talk about asset classes now and the risk of loss in each of these asset classes. Now, real estate. A lot of people say real estate will never go down. Well, commercial real estate is collapsing. It's down 50 to 60% right now in some areas. The thing about real estate, there are two big factors. Number one, people are fleeing Democrat-controlled cities and states. So real estate is going to collapse relative to other states in those blue states and blue cities especially. But then again, real estate may stay strong in red states and red cities where people are moving to, like Oklahoma or Texas or Tennessee or Florida, wherever, could be strong. But now here's another factor, depopulation. So what if the depopulation goals of the globalists are actually successful in the United States, for example, where the Deagle numbers had predicted something like, almost over 200 million Americans would be dead by the end of 2025, according to the Deagle report. I don't know if that's going to happen. I hope not. But if it does, let's just imagine if you lose two-thirds of the population of America, maybe grid down, nuclear war, mass starvation, who knows what? Solar flare? Well, then, what's the value of real estate if two-thirds of the people are gone? Obviously, the value of real estate goes down perhaps by two-thirds, you see. And fewer people, suddenly there's a lot more land and more buildings to share and what have you, right? So there's a risk in real estate. But what about gold and silver? Well, there's a risk in gold of government confiscation orders. Now, that's always been a risk. It's happened before in the history of the United States. Silver has less of a risk of that because it's probably impossible for the government to issue a silver confiscation order because silver is used throughout so many industrial processes that would collapse the economy to try to stop the flow of silver. But who knows? Maybe they want to crash the economy. It seems like it sometimes. So maybe they do that anyway. So maybe they make gold and silver sales illegal, which would mean that, yeah, you still have your gold and silver. You just can't sell it. You know, you can't convert it to fiat. Okay, well, maybe you can still use it locally, though, but only on the down low. You have to be on part of the underground economy because now you'd be engaged in an illegal transaction to use a silver coin to buy, you know, some cucumbers at the farmer's market or something. So that could cause the value of gold and silver to plummet. Crypto. The risks are abundantly evident that the SEC is at war with crypto. The globalists are at war with crypto. And they're especially at war with privacy coins. They don't like privacy at all. The only crypto that they want to be allowed to exist is crypto that is custodial, which means that you never hold it yourself. You only own it through institutions like BlackRock or Fidelity or, you know, the banks or whatever. That's what they want, is traceable Bitcoin that the globalists can control, where you can't have your own wallets, you can't have self-custody, because that would give you too much freedom and power, you see? So they're attacking privacy coins like Monero. So right now, I was just checking, Monero is $161 a coin. Could it happen that one day the government announces we're outlawing Monero by name? Could that happen? Of course it could happen. What would the price of Monero go to right after that? It's anybody's guess. It might plunge 50%. Or it might not, because Monero is used globally. And maybe the value of Monero is really in the minds of people who already give the finger to the government, you know? Maybe Monero goes up. I don't know, but there's a possibility, I would say a likelihood, that in such a scenario, Monero would go down substantially. And I think the same would be true with other privacy coins. They could fall dramatically. Now, that's government action against crypto. And of course, government can issue all kinds of declarations and attacks on Bitcoin as well. And that would affect not just the price of Bitcoin, but also, of course, the price of most other coins, because a lot of coins are closely linked to Bitcoin in terms of their price. But in the crypto space, there are also other risks. And this is what I really try to steer you clear of. There are risks of scammers and fraudsters. And have you ever heard of the Kickstarter scams, where people go on Kickstarter and they have a really compelling idea? And they have a really sweet looking video, and it's some super cool idea, like, we're going to make levitating skateboards or whatever. And all you got to do is donate money to this Kickstarter idea. Just give us money, and then we're going to build these skateboards. And for $5,000, you can have one of the first ones off the production line, right? You've heard these before? Well, did you know that a lot of people, their career is just scamming people on Kickstarter? Their entire career is coming up with compelling seeming ideas with no real intention of ever building those hovercraft skateboards. Instead, what they do is they just take everybody's money and they live off of that. And then they say, oh, well, the project failed because of COVID or the supply chain, or we couldn't get these parts, or wasn't feasible, blah, blah, blah. And then the whole project falls apart and everybody got scammed. So Project Kickstarter, did you know there's no contractual obligation on the part of the Kickstarter originators to actually make good on their promises. It's a startup. And so Kickstarter is a place where a lot of people get scammed. Well, the same thing is true in crypto coins. There are people who their entire career is nothing more than creating really compelling sounding ideas in the crypto space. And they may start a new blockchain and they may issue, you know, certain types of tokens or wrapped tokens or whatever. And they say, yeah, these tokens give you ownership in this idea, whatever it is. And it sounds really great. But this person or this scammer really has no intention of ever fulfilling the ultimate promise of that project. They live off of people giving them money in exchange for the tokens. The tokens, which will one day be completely worthless because the project will be abandoned and that person will move on to the next project. So I've seen this myself, and whenever I do see it, I try to warn people away from these kinds of projects. But be cautious. Whether you're dealing with Kickstarter or crypto or, frankly, you know, an IPO in the stock market, because that's a similar kind of scam. A lot of companies out there, they pretend to have a great idea. Oh, we're going to have an IPO. Everybody buy in. You know, this price is going to go to the moon. This is a really compelling concept. Oh, you hand over your money, you get some shares of the IPO, and it turns out it wasn't really legit, or it was a stupid idea, or the founders abandoned it or whatever. So just be very, very careful about putting your money into especially crypto type of projects or ICOs or crypto tokens or new blockchains or new fundraisers in the crypto space or the NFT space or anything like that, because you're going to find that a lot of these are scams. So with that said, there's also upside in some crypto projects. That's not an area that I focus on, but there are many very innovative ideas out there, and there are some major advancements in privacy coins that even I'm aware of. I'm interviewing project leaders in some of these spaces, and personally, I think there's going to come a day where people rush into privacy coins because the banking system is becoming more and more big brother, more surveillance oriented. You know, the banking system doesn't work very well anymore. It's more onerous and oppressive. And with the rollout of CBDCs, I actually see a lot more people turning to things like Bitcoin, which isn't a privacy coin, but also other coins that are privacy oriented, like Monero, for example. But, you know, I don't talk about speculation. I never encourage it. I never give price targets. I just think that's up to you to decide what you want to do. But I do think that privacy crypto is very viable if you can navigate around all the landmines of the projects that will fail or the deliberate scammers out there. You know, because it's two categories. Some projects fail inadvertently. Other projects fail because they're run by a scammer. And they're designed to fail. They're designed to part people from their money. Whereas a lot of projects fail due to nobody's fault. And that happens too. But I noticed that the scammers, when their project fails, they always blame somebody else, right? It's never their fault. They never admit to scamming anybody. It's always like, well, somebody caused this because they criticized the project or something. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody sabotaged it. It's never their fault. That's funny. So whatever you do with your funds, be wise and be diverse. And this is why I've said gold, silver, and crypto. Those are some things that I advocate looking into, but I've also said real estate and diesel fuel and ammunition and firearms and things like that, right? So those are all things to consider. Do what's best for you. For some people, in the short term, you might say, well, treasuries are the right thing because maybe you think the U.S. Treasury is still going to be around for a while. It probably will be around for a while. I mean, ultimately, it's going to vanish, but it might be good for another year or two or a couple of years. Who knows? Some cash, maybe. Some people think stocks are good. Some people put their money in, you know, just straight up gold. Some people are buying gold backs, which have gold in them. They're polymer bills with a certain amount of gold embedded in the bill. Those are pretty cool. They're called goldbacks. But a lot of people in the gold and silver world think that goldbacks are just a novelty item. So, you know, there's a difference of opinion there. But again, do your own research and decide what's right for you. I think goldbacks are pretty cool, personally. I also like gold and silver. And I also like having land. And I also have some crypto. But I am not going to be surprised if I wake up one day and whatever I have in Monero has lost 50% of its apparent value. I'm not going to be shocked. I expect that to happen. I'm also not going to be shocked if it goes up 50% or 100%. I wouldn't be shocked at that either. I plan for volatility. I plan for asset destruction. I have this mental expectation of knowing that the very reason that I've spread assets around, this is not just me personally, but company assets as well. And, you know, my company invests in food assets, so we have food inventory, which has obviously intrinsic value. But the reason we're so diverse is because if one asset class is completely obliterated, like let's say if all crypto goes to zero for some reason, I'm not wiped out, you know, or if all gold goes to zero, which I don't see how that could happen, but let's just say it does, I'm not wiped out. Or if land loses 90% of its value, whatever, or if the dollar loses 90% or 99%, I'm not wiped out. Something is going to maintain value in all of this. And if the dollar collapses, gold's probably going to skyrocket. And if the banks collapse, crypto's probably going to skyrocket, you know? So you actually have not only diversification in this kind of strategy, you also have assets that move opposite to each other. So yeah, I have a certain amount of cash, certain amount of money in the bank. Hopefully not a lot. But as that money loses value, gold and silver are over time trending into higher and higher value, so they offset each other. So you might have a total loss in one asset class that's compensated by a partial gain in another asset class. And that's why this strategy can make a lot of sense for a lot of people. But again, do your own homework. Don't take this as financial advice. There's a risk of loss in every asset class. In fact, that's the focus of this podcast. I'm telling you, every asset class could lose a substantial portion of its value, everything. And again, if you emerge from this over the next 5 or 10 years without losing 10 or 20%, then consider yourself very fortunate. I am anticipating substantial losses, even for those of us who know what we're doing. And for those who don't know what they're doing, 90%+ loss of their assets. That's what they can expect. I would not want to be one of those people, that's for sure. All right, well, thanks for listening. Mike Adams here. Be sure to check out my new show, Decentralize.tv, which discusses decentralized money and privacy and technology, food, medicine, and so much more. Thanks for listening. Take care.